Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Still speaking God, as these words from scriptures are read, may it be to us as if the heavens are opening, and we see your Spirit descending on us like a dove, revealing your love for us as your daughters and sons. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. And the beginning of this chapter is titled, Peter at Cornelius's House. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted, helping us to enter into worship. Thank you, my friend. You know, it was interesting because just this past week, I was in Fry's, and it's a grocery store here in town, maybe you've, and I had my Pittsburgh Penguins hat pulled down, okay? No comments about the Penguins, but the Pittsburgh Penguins hat pulled down, and I had my shades on. So I want you to imagine that right now. I'm kind of incognito. And I saw my brother in Christ, who was our liturgist, at Fry's, and I started walking up towards him, and I even kind of put my hand on him and went ahead and greeted him, and this is what I got. He started pulling back from me, kind of like... And then he started, Pastor, and he was so happy whenever he realized it was me. So there's this odd-looking man in a Pittsburgh Penguins hat and shades coming up to you, and you'll know that it's maybe me. And then whenever we were taking the offering there and I received the basket, right in the front row, I saw my brother starting to put his hand in his pocket again. And you never, ever, ever put your hand in your pocket when the pastor has the collection basket near you. Because all of a sudden, I almost went like, back, hold it, did we miss something? You know, just like radar that I have picking up. Now, the reason why I mention those two things is because we can have that kind of fun, and we can smile when we're with one another, and we can laugh with one another, and we can have joy with one another, because why? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're the family of God. Keep that in mind as we pray. Father, we want to thank you. And we give you the praise. Right now, we seek to be open to you once again. Your words speak to us. Abide in us now. Remind us that we belong to you. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as your children, we pray in the name of our Savior. Amen. And as a family, the family of God, sometimes we're going to butt heads. Anyone who has come out of a family knows that sometimes there's struggle. Sometimes you might even hear this from a sibling. You might have heard this from a sibling. I was mom's favorite. Or you were dad's favorite. And sometimes that actually indicates a deeper brokenness, doesn't it? A hurt. Something that just kind of hangs in the air there as we think about what it is to be related, connected. As God's family, as God's church, notice that I say it's God's, it's not ours. We understand that there are times whenever within our gathering we are going to be stretched. Yet we can also know this, and this is a word of hope. It comes right from the scripture passage. Our brother Peter is sharing this reality and this truth with all who would hear in the early church and all who hear in the present day church, that God shows no impartiality. God is a God of impartiality. In other words, God doesn't value you above you. God doesn't say your gifts are greater than your gifts. God, as a God of impartiality, welcomes all people. And so these doors of this very building must be open to each and every person that comes to them. Anyone who comes to these doors has to be welcome. We need to welcome them as a child of God, a brother or sister in Christ. Now, why is this important? This is important because this particular chapter of Acts is the defining chapter of the entire book of Acts. Okay, it's really kind of the hinge that everything else rests on. And is it because of these words that we heard today? Not necessarily. These words build on what has already happened. Cornelius is a Roman official. And Cornelius has had this dream that Simon, also known as Peter, is someone that he needs to see and be with. And because God works in wonderful ways and mysterious ways, as Cornelius is having this vision, this dream, this epiphany, if you will, that he needs to be with this man, guess who else is also having an epiphany, an awareness that you know, maybe God's house is big enough for everybody? Peter. And he has an interesting dream about all of these unclean animals, and they're lowered from heaven. Okay, presented by God, lowered from heaven. And in this vision, he's told to go ahead and eat, to receive all of this. It's all good. It's all okay now in God's eyes. And Peter's struggling with this because he's coming to understand that he's going to be God's point man and starting to bring this good news that Jesus died for all people, Gentiles included, not just Jews. That Jesus is the Messiah of all. That Jesus is the Savior of the entire world. And that means the people that we don't even like. Now that stretches us. And it should stretch us. And it should confront us. Because if it's not stretching us and it doesn't confront us, then we aren't growing as the people of God. For us, this story that really defines everything in Acts And this story that is such a breaking forth of the movement of the Holy Spirit is something that we should hold on to and something that we should read again and again and ponder. And as we read these words that say, all people are God's children, all people are God's created, and Christ died for the sins of all. God offered salvation through Christ for all the world. God so loved the world. Exactly. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but will have eternal life. The world, everyone. You know, Peter responds here and he shares eloquent words. But it's been said in commentaries that Peter actually maybe grew himself. Maybe had a bit of a conversion experience himself. Think about it. He thought that he was taking the message to a certain group of people. And now God is saying to him, no, I want you to take it to everyone. And just to prove it, I'm going to bring this Roman official, a Roman official, an official from the oppressing class, someone who had no connection to God, at least on appearance sake. I'm going to bring him and put him right in front of you. And you're going to be working with him. We understand that what happened in Cornelius' house, a house that didn't know God, was that there was a transformation and a working of the Holy Spirit. And they were saved and they were baptized. They were brought in to the family of God through baptism. Baptism kind of reminds us of that, a bringing in. God is already at work, but baptism is something that we do, kind of a tangible reminder that this is a child of God. Whenever we baptize people here, in fact, it's a bringing in, it's an including in the household of faith. It's a celebration, whether it be infant, whether it be adult, whoever it is, it comes forward. It is a mark of God's Holy Spirit upon them that you belong to me, I love you, and I'm at work in your life. And as we hear those words and we understand that fact and that reality of that baptism, that effect of that Holy Spirit-infused water of God's grace washing over them, then it reminds us they're a brother or sister in Christ. You know, I think sometimes that's what God needs to do most, remind us they're a brother or sister in Christ. Think about somebody that you don't like. I don't mean to upset you right now, but think about somebody you don't like. Just picture their face right up here on me. Bring it on. And think about that person. Think about somebody that maybe right now you're trying to love, but maybe you don't really like them, okay? You don't want to spend a whole lot of time with them. Think about somebody that you're having a conflict with right now. Or think about, maybe even think about a brokenness in your life that you're carrying. In your heart, somebody that you have a resentment about or a scar from. Maybe they've hurt you. Now understand, this is a profound truth, that from this whole chapter of Acts, but also from what Peter is saying here, that person is a child of God as well. Takes some work to work on that, doesn't it? It's not just one of those Hallmark sentiments. Maybe Hallmark should make a card like that. God loves you and I'm trying. You know, something like that. Isn't that a true phrase, though? Isn't that? I mean, come on. Come on. That's a true phrase. And you can say that to someone, you know. You're a child of God, but I really can't see it. So, God loves me more than He loves you. So where does this bring us today? We are still in the season of Epiphany, in other words, God revealing himself to us. And God reveals himself to us every day, but Epiphany is especially a season when we think about God breaking into our lives. God filling us and sustaining us. God surprising us with his grace. I think that's a great truth to hold on to. In fact, I know it is. Judy and I were watching, I don't think you would consider it necessarily a theological television show, theologically based, Hawaii 5-0. Anybody like to watch that? Okay. I don't think that they consult theologians or anything whenever they're writing the scripts. But there was a particular phrase on that I really, really liked. And it relays to this message about who's included as God's family. This is a statement. Hate corrodes the container that it's held in. So if we've been holding on to that hate, what's happening inside of us? Now, is there anything about hate in the particular passage today? No, nothing. It's very much about what God is doing, and it's a story of divine excess. Divine excess. God working in a way that certainly is not in our control, and God loving in a way that maybe causes us sometimes to think, but God, really, do you love them? Are you sure? You mean Jesus died for them also? Really? Peter, I was mentioning earlier, I think came to a new conviction, at least. He was filled by God's Holy Spirit. He was willing to serve. He had been a changed man. We understand earlier on in his life that he had been recommissioned by Christ 3 times. Peter, do you love me? You remember that in the scripture? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Okay, 3 times he was recommissioned after he turned away from Christ 3 times. So that reminds us that no matter how many times we turn away from God, if we humble ourselves before God and simply say, God, we do love you, we really do, and we seek to serve in the name of Jesus Christ, God will use us. But then there's kind of a new conviction or an epiphany that Peter has. And what he shares in these words is a message that we need to hear once again today. For all who are baptized, for all who seek to remember their baptism, that they are included in that family, that bigger family of God, God is willing to accept all who turn to him. God sent the message of peace through Jesus Christ. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. God continued to be with Jesus throughout his ministry. God raised Jesus after people had put him to death. God enabled Jesus to appear to those whom God had chosen as witnesses. God commanded those to whom Jesus appeared to preach to the people. And God ordained Jesus to be judge of the living and the dead. God is the one who did all of that. God is the one who continues to work in our lives. And God is the one who is inviting us this very day to allow him to take the hate that we have, to allow him to receive any sort of bias that we have, to allow him to take any sort of exclusive feeling that we have that somehow this is a club rather than the house of God. And if there's any of that in us, any of that at all, we can offer that to Him today. And God receives it all. As we come into a time of reflection, thinking about how God is the author of grace, God as the initiator of love in our lives, and that grace and love are at work in our lives right now, what is it that we need to hand over to God that is keeping us from understanding that we are His people and we are called to bring in more and more and more? You know, God's love doesn't run out. Did you know that? If it's at work in your life, God's love is at work in that life as well. But how can we help to share that love of God through the name of Jesus Christ? Just like Peter was stretched, maybe it stretches you. How is God calling you to be His disciple in the name of Jesus Christ today and the next day and the next? Join with me in prayer.